fantastic hairdo.
That's right.
How high.
Hello,
to God were we with our hairdos.
Exactly.
The beehive.
Exactly. The taller the hair,
the closer to God.
I love that.
If only it were true.
Why can't it be? Why can't it be, girlfriend?
It's true. It's true. Hey. Is this Life with a Girlfriend?
It is. Hello, 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 hello. And it's so funny because I got confused after the show. I'm like, does the song play all the way out or just a little bit here and there? I got confused, but we're good.
I love that song.
I do too.
May I say, it's my favorite song. And everybody that I talk to, it's their favorite song. How cool is that?
Because we're Yeah Yeah Girls.
Yeah, we're Yay Yay Girls.
Yeah Yeah Girls. And we're Christine Marie and Julie. We're mother and daughter.
And so much more. We're girlfriends. We're best friends. And, you know,
we're trying to bring a little spirituality to your life. And a little bit of...
A little bit of rock and roll.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit country. You're a little bit rock and roll.
And we're trying just to go deep, to get more life into this one lifetime that we're present in, huh?
Isn't it true?
I pulled out a couple of Esther Hicks cards today. Well, you know, first off, we're going to talk about a couple things today. We're going to talk about the release of Unwavering Strength.
I want to talk about that because I'm enjoying the book, and it's so nice to have interviewed probably half,
yes,
at least of the authors in the story. And everyone, page 79, Christine Marie, the kiss,
yes. And it's so cute because you gave an autographed copy to your son. And then you go, oh, did you read the story? He goes, well, I haven't had time yet, but I heard you talk about it on the podcast. So I know the story. I've heard the story before. And I'm like, and you're like, well, you could have read it.
It's four freaking pages.
And you're like,
hello?
Why can't my son read my story? You know, I thought that was kind of cute.
But that's true. But we are going to... But talk about that. It got released this week. I think it's made international bestseller.
I can't imagine it not.
Yeah.
What I do love about this Unwavering Strength is that the quality of authors, I mean,
yeah,
just bearing their soul.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and I want to talk about that today, too, on Unwavering Strength, talking about these deep disappointments.
Mm-hmm. Well, also about bearing your soul.
Bearing your soul.
I mean, that's what I appreciate it, and as I'm holding the book in my hand, I mean, there are times, right, Julie, over these last few months, you know, we'd get together before the radio show and read the author's story, and we would just be in tears.
Right, exactly.
And we go, I don't know how I can go on.
Yeah, I don't know how I can do this interview. This
right.
is crazy.
I don't know how I can do this. And yet we do.
And yet we do.
And yet everybody has... we were just listening to Joel Osteen the other day, and he talks about having sufficient grace.
Yes.
You know, where God said, my grace is sufficient. You know,
yes.
And that's what you get. You know, there's this one story. I remember interviewing Kelly Bishop, where she lost her daughter, a 16-year-old daughter, in a car accident, you know, and getting that, you know, the two policemen in the middle of the night, you know, to the door. And she kind of changed her story a little bit from what we read. And she talks about her dog, Riley, and how Riley was a puppy, and how even after her daughter, Brittany, died, Riley would still come and nudge her every morning and say, come on, you've got to get up. You've got to do the walk. You've got to feed me breakfast, you know. And, you know, and you remember Willie Tart?
Yeah.
Well, his wife is in the, and where Willie's, his wife's sister died of AIDS. And, left, you know, said, can you take care of my son?
Right.
You know, and that month that we interviewed Willie, his son had passed away.
Yeah.
He was on kidney dialysis. It's in his early 20s. And yet, you know, there's this, not just unwavering strength, but there's this belief in faith.
Yeah.
And that life is good, and you can still choose life. and more life and greater life.
Exactly.
In spite of.
We just can't insulate ourselves enough from the pain.
I wish we could.
I do too, but it's just, it's the more, the deeper I go into these talks and trying to create a life that you desire, you're also left with life happens.
Right. Well, I spoke last week and I said, you know, after Norm, you know, had his heart attack and what's going on this last month and having another, you know, stent put in and he has medication issues, I feel like I'm, you know, in what remains after Katrina or something that just comes in
right
and sweeps over you and devastates you. And then you have to go like, wait a minute, I had plans.
Yeah, I had
plans. I kind of had hopes for my
future.
I had sort of a different dream for my future.
Yeah, exactly. Like, wait, this isn't part of that line I created way back when.
Yeah.
Where at this stage, this is going to
right. Oh, you okay, girlfriend?
Yeah. Sure. And this is going to happen. And at this stage, this is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then something else happens.
Yes.
And you're like, ah.
And that's like when you hear, like, you know, some movies, their production company's called Plan B.
Yeah. Yeah. And I would say sometimes it's Plan C, sometimes it's Plan D.
True.
And sometimes just throwing a Hail Mary pass.
Yes.
I'm going to throw this pass, and I hope to God somebody catches it. And
yes.
Then, I mean you, God. Please catch this ball.
Yes, exactly.
Because I'm throwing it and so forth. But
mm-hmm. So how do we be of good cheer? I mean, you look at these people, and they've come through some of the hardest, most difficult moments in their lives.
Well, it's interesting.
And
yeah.
They're coming out on the other side. And we know that they're stronger.
Mm-hmm.
We know that their heart is broken, and in many ways, that's a good place to start.
Right. Well, there was that one movie called The Upside of Anger, which I've always appreciated the title of that movie. And I think there's an upside of loss, or there's an upside of sadness and grief
mm-hmm.
that equals strength. Because somehow, as you're going through the grieving process, whatever you're losing, the loss of a loved one, the loss of a business, a dream,
mm-hmm.
Or just holding on to these daily disappointments, you know,
mm-hmm.
we have goals that just sometimes never come true. And and somebody else would go, well, this is not that big of a goal. Why can't this come true? You know,
mm-hmm.
whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And in the midst of that, you are building character, or you are building, and if you've chosen a belief system of having good cheer,
mm-hmm.
because you want to attract that into your life, or because you feel it's your obligation to the world to just be of good cheer,
mm-hmm.
I want you to be a good cheer, and I'll be a
right.
good cheer,
right.
and together we'll go through this life, and it won't be so difficult,
right.
because we'll try our best to be in good cheer.
And because we know the alternative.
Yeah.
We know what that looks like. You know, we can be as sad as we want to be.
Yeah.
We can be as disappointed as we want to be.
Right.
But what does that serve us?
Right.
You know, does it make it go away?
Right.
You know, you know, I just say you end up getting red eyes, puffy eyes. And,
oh, exactly.
You know.
Exactly.
And no sleep. I don't know. Nobody wants to sign up for it, you know, going through that.
No.
But, you know, once you're in it, you know, you want to make the best out of it somehow. Like you said, you always say when there's a pile of crap, you go, there must be a pony here, Mama.
I love to say that I created that saying, but I didn't.
No, you didn't.
But I remember this guy. I'm like, gosh, how many? That's a saying. I'm like, well, I might take that saying. I'm gonna spread that saying around. That's kind of fun. So I would suggest, so girlfriend,
mm-hmm.
a scale of 1 to 10. What do you rate in this book, Unwavering Strength? Even though you're in it, no bias.
I started reading it, you know, and I'm enjoying it. I didn't think I would because I thought, oh, my God, it's going to be. And it is a very different book, I think, than Volume 1.
Yes.
So I think that Volume 2 is a little more uplifting. It has some, you know, some humor in it. And I just think it's you don't feel so alone. I was Norm and I were out by the river, and I was just reading out loud, you know, that some of the stories. And you know, Julie, it was very different.
That's good.
Than when we were, you know, interviewing these people, and we'd have to, like, oh my God,
cry our eyes out. And so the stories are short.
They're heartwarming, yes.
Yeah, and heartwarming. And I think no matter where you're at in your life, it's just good to remember that people are going through the same stuff, or
yes,
that we can do it.
Yes.
We can get there. We can get through the pain, and we can put on a cheerful face, and we can get to it in authentically as well.
Oh, yeah. You can choose to put on good cheer.
Right.
You know, you don't have to be like, ho, 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 you know, but you can choose to be full of grace.
Right.
And mercy.
Right. And when plans change, or when loss occurs, there's enough grace and mercy for us all to get through this.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, you listened to Joel Osteen this week, and I listened to him too, and it was so interesting because I love the man. I know some people don't like
business
that.
Business in the front, party in the back.
I remember one person I was talking to about Joel Osteen, and he's like, oh, he drives me crazy because he's so rich.
Mm-hmm.
And it just... no man of God could be this rich. I'm like, well, don't turn on your TV then, people, because you're going to be offended.
And when was that rule made?
Well, I don't know, but it was interesting because I said, well, you know,
because I always heard, like, you know, like when Jesus had all his disciples and stuff, right?
Right.
He, one of them, I can't remember which one, was his treasurer.
Right.
And you're like, okay, if you got a treasure, you're not taking
out poverty.
You've
got to
have some
kind of treasure.
Yeah.
You have a treasurer.
Exactly.
There's got to be some kind of treasure there.
There's got to be a pony there.
Yeah. In that treasurer. Exactly. Well, and I remember Joel Osteen said that, I think talking to Oprah one time, he goes, I don't take a dime off my ministry. The money I make is through my books and the mm-hmm. live events I have, you know, at the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, well, it doesn't hurt to have a ministry to promote the books and to promote the things. But
just like the Clutterfly effect. Hello, people. I still love the royalties that come in.
Yes, please.
Not as great as the first year, but I still love it.
Just as good as the first.
Go ahead and tell the title, Jillian.
The Clutterfly Effect. Tweak your way to total transformation by decluttering your life.
And, you know, isn't that true, though? You do have to, you know, when we talk about having new stuff or being, you know, having a plan, in general, it does require decluttering.
Yeah.
You have to let go of the old. And some of the old is, like, not just a couple years old. It's, like, 10, 15, 20 years old.
Gosh.
That you're just holding on to, not getting rid of that. But, you know, if things are going awry, it's not a bad time to start letting go of stuff.
I agree totally.
You know?
I totally agree. And it's sometimes when you don't know what to take the next step, you go, I can let go. I can let go. I can declutter. That's something I can physically do.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, good. That's a good place to start. And then if you keep up with it, things will move forward. Life has a way of pushing you or pulling you along. And you can look back and you may think there has been no movement. And you're like, well, there has been movement here.
Right.
There really has been movement.
Right.
You know, I was listening to Joel Osteen, and I love it when he starts talking about a Bible story. And I'll have no connection to it whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then at the end, I'm like, oh, yeah, there it is. That's the connection.
Booyah.
Like
boom.
Today. And thank God for
me?
Yes, thank
me?
God for you.
Yes.
I was going to say, who's that famous Broadway play producer and writer? Famous.
That's a pretty big pie.
Oh, no, he's like, he wrote Joseph, Technicolor Dreamcoat.
Oh, I do not know.
Oh, I think it's the right guy. I think it's, well, anyway, I think it's him. But anyway, okay, so anyway, he talks about the story about Jacob. I'm like, we have a lot of Jacobs, you know, back in Bible time.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't connecting with anything, and he goes, oh, yeah, and he fell in love with Rachel, and there was his sister named Leah, but, you know, and had to work for the father, for a father-in-law for 7 years before he could marry a daughter, but had to get married the daughter to Leah first. And they had lots and lots of children, lots and lots of men, you know, boys. And then he finally married Rachel, and she eventually gave him one son named Joseph. And I'm like, oh, there it is.
Ba-doom.
And I go, oh, I got the whole story then.
Now it's in perspective.
Yeah, Jacob. Jacob and Zabu. I'm like, thank you. Thank you for the musical Joseph and Technicolor Dreamcoat.
Oh, my gosh.
And thank you, Donny Osmond.
I remember when it first came out, I don't know how many years ago, maybe more than 16, 17 years.
Yeah.
But we got the soundtrack.
Oh, yes.
And we would just go around the house cleaning and doing dusting and just singing, you know.
Yes.
I'm trying to think of one of the songs that
well,
was
you know,
so much fun.
Jacob and Sons, or my, you know, and Technicolor Coat of Many Colors,
yes,
and
yes.
Then, oh, there are so many, you know, and they start singing a lot alike, the mm-hmm. melodies do. But, mm-hmm. you know, like when he's in prison, I'll close all the doors to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, keep all that, you know, I love from the you know, children mm-hmm. of Israel. Mm-hmm. I just love Donny Osmond. That was such a great, great play.
Did Donny win
I don't
Dancing
think so.
With the Stars?
Oh, I don't know. That could have been.
Did he kick home the mirror brawl?
I do not remember.
I'm thinking he did.
Well, he could have.
Yeah.
He definitely could have.
Yeah.
I don't doubt that.
He's a talented man. I guess that everybody's criticizing this year's, this season's contestants.
Are they even out? I have no idea.
Oh, yeah. Suzanne Somers. And I heard a girl on, not E, but one of the other entertainment channels, like, Suzanne Somers, what? She's like 68 years old. What's that? And who is the other one?
Oh, no, because I think she's totally hot.
I know.
And totally, like,
relevant.
And so to hear someone going, Suzanne Somers, who's that?
She's like Thighmaster.
Like, you get your butt over here, let me beat you.
Yeah.
Who is she? She's a billionaire, probably.
Yeah, oh, easy.
You know,
yeah,
I'm
exactly.
guessing. I could be
she,
off.
She does, oh, no, but she does not need you.
Yes, exactly.
Your damn mirror ball. Oh.
How interesting was that?
Yes.
That's very shocking.
And there was another, the Gladys Knight, I think, is going to be on.
Oh.
You know, and they're like, how old is Gladys Knight? What the heck, you know? What is it? The whole world has to be like in their 20s?
Well, if you're 20, you don't ever believe you're going to be in your 60s. I don't know why that is.
Not only I agree with you, but not only that is a baseline, but if you're still wanting some dreams, get out of my way.
Right.
You're just taking up my space.
That's what they feel like,
don't
they? It's interesting.
It's like that there's not enough resources.
And that's so
to go around.
Yeah. Or like when you hear that TV, you know, advertising dollars wants to go to the 18 to 40-year-olds, right?
Oh, yeah?
And that's like the true demographic, or 18 to 35.
Mm.
And I think to myself, yeah, those people don't have any money, though. I mean, the people
right.
that are over 45,
right.
at least they have money to spend.
Yeah.
And they want to spend it.
Yeah.
And they're not, you know.
They got some disposable income
here. Because they're not buying, you know, the ones that are under 40, they're not buying cars, people.
Mm-mm.
Those young ones are not buying cars for some reason.
No, they're buying phones.
Exactly. They're buying expensive phones.
That, I mean, I can remember how old I am, but I thought it was great that when, you know, you had a phone, you could talk to somebody. You could just dial their number.
Yeah.
And so then when you had just a cell phone.
No. Yeah.
But now, like, you want to have a phone, but how dare you call me?
Yeah. I only accept text.
I only accept text. So I only read those, like, twice a day. And you're like, what? When did this happen, and
exactly.
why did this happen?
Exactly.
And how is that cool? I don't know if that's that, but it is.
I guess. You know, one of the nicest memories I've had deals with Gladys Knight.
That's really?
Yeah. Well, I remember.
Am I in it as well?
No, it's a nice memory, not like a family memory. Those are like mm-hmm. those are like superb, sublime memories.
Right.
This is just like a second tier, a third tier memory.
Okay.
That feel good to you?
Yes.
Okay.
Better.
Thank you. You're welcome. Mm-hmm. Okay, so anyway, I happened to be at the Lombardos for one of their, which is Doug's son-in-law's family, and they have, their parents are your age, and they have 11 kids. So, and they have a kind of a big New Year's Eve party sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
We've only been there once because it kind of ended a
It always ends in a fight, doesn't it?
I always tell Doug, whatever we do, we're home by 10 because nothing good happens after 10.
At that house.
Anywhere. Anywhere in the world, nothing happens after 10.
Mm.
People get a little too tipsy or their inhibitions are gone, mm. and then, you know, all of a sudden you're left wondering where your underwear is at. And you're like, where the hell is my underwear?
It's 10:30. Do you know where your underpants are at?
That's my criteria. And so then, anyway, we were playing at the time an Xbox or I think a PlayStation. It was karaoke, you know, where mm-hmm. you're singing and trying to match the words. We used to have that as well. And it was kind of cute because there's like a wide variety of ages and we were all going against each mm-hmm. other and it was kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of funny because a young girl goes, oh, we should tape this and put this on YouTube and make $1 million. I'm like, and so, and at that moment, I felt to myself, now I can't be myself.
Right.
I don't, you know, I want to do this for you guys. I don't want to do this for anybody besides that.
Right.
If you're not going to show up, you don't get the benefits
right.
of people being good, you know,
right,
whatever.
Right.
But anyway, then Gladys Knight comes on, you know, on this midnight train to Georgia.
Mm.
And we all just started singing it.
Mm.
No competition.
Right.
And the kids didn't know it, but it was just everybody over the age of 17 knew this song.
Yeah.
And it was so awesome because here we are, mm. we're just having a good time, but not really connecting. And then, boom, we all connected.
Mm.
And it was just, and that's a great song.
Oh, my God. It's
a great song.
And what's that one movie? Oh, The Equalizer.
Yes.
Denzel Washington.
Yes.
In his prior life, before he was The Equalizer, was a pip.
That's what he said he was.
I think he was.
Really? I don't know. he wasn't a pimp. He was a pip.
Right.
Okay, I thought he said pimp.
No.
No, he was a pip. Yes. Glass Nine the Pip.
Oh, you know, I want to tell you something. Mm-hmm. I have sung that song in the car.
Yeah.
Or in the shower. I mean, oh, I'm so good when I sing that song.
Well, it's just so sweet because, like, you know, cause this man, you know, here's this man, he's just not making it in California.
Right, right.
He's got to go back
how
home.
How can you not make it in California?
Well, sometimes it happens, man.
Yeah.
And he's got to go back home.
Yeah.
Leave on midnight train in Georgia.
World. It's his world.
Yeah.
So he's leaving on that midnight train to Georgia.
Mm.
I'd rather live in his world than live without him.
In mine.
Yeah, I know what that'll get you.
Yeah.
I know what that'll get
you. Yeah,
now, crying baby.
Yeah, and also, too, exactly. And I'll take it with you in 5 years, girlfriend, and let's see how that worked out for you.
Oh, I know. I'll tell you what was depressing today, though. I mean, today's been a day of ups and downs. But for whatever reason, we sort of lost track of the morning, and we ended up having Law and Order in the background.
Hmm. Yeah.
And there was, like, 3 Law and Orders in a row that was just kept getting sadder and grayer.
Yeah.
And like,
it'll do that to you. Law and Order will take a day from
you. You cannot. Yeah.
I think I wrote about that in The Clutterfly Effect.
Did you write about that?
Yeah.
What'd you say?
I don't remember, but I remember talking about how, you know, be conscious of your time because before you know it,
you're watching Law and Order
all day long. Yeah, all day long. And you're like, what the hell is my time?
Yeah.
And you've got to grab that, you know. And I remember I started getting real crabby. I'm like, because we had plans on doing stuff.
I know. We had great plans this morning.
And I'm like, hey, girlfriend, what's going on here?
Yeah.
And then, I want Law and Order. Mm-hmm. I'm at the law part. I'm not the order yet. I feel like I can't finish it out.
Right.
And, you know, I'm like, ah.
Oh, I know.
We got through it.
Mm-hmm.
We got through it. That's good.
Yeah, that's why I want people to buy The Clutterfly Effect, because that's a good book. In fact, I had someone email me saying that one of their friends came over, and they had the book on the dining room table or something, and she started looking through it, and this person has depression.
Mm-hmm.
She started looking at it, and she said, oh, my God, this book looks so good. Could I borrow it? And she said, I got 2 copies, so you can have...
Aww.
She have it.
Mm-hmm.
And she was so happy. And that's the kind of stuff you want to hear.
Yes, exactly.
You want to be able to, like, okay, you want to be able to know that you touched 1 life.
Yeah, you do.
2 lives.
Yeah.
You know, you really want to be able to do that, right?
It's one of the reasons,
end of the day, there's nothing else makes a lot of sense.
No. one of the reasons why I donate to different organizations, like the in Rockford, mm-hmm. Mission Rockford, and so forth. But mm-hmm. but just this idea, and some of our other places that we donate to, it's just mm-hmm. like maybe my money separate can't help, but my money with other people's money can change a life.
I know.
And I'm like, well, that's kind of cool.
Isn't that great?
I like to contribute like that. That'd be great.
I mean, that makes sense, doesn't it? And also too. One of the first Kiva.org is like does this micro mm-hmm. loans,
right?
And when you hear about these women in these developing countries change their family's future on a $25 loan, that they pay back.
That they pay back.
That
can be reused.
And then they get it again. Yeah. And then they build their business again.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Doesn't that puts a smile to your face?
It does.
I mean, there's something good out there amidst all the crap.
Well, you realize how, at the right time, with the right intention, a little bit of capital can go a long way.
Mm-hmm.
And it can really build on everything. Sometimes I always wonder if we just traced all the debt, like I owe this money to this person owes this money to that person, that's all,
mm-hmm.
and we just goes, now this dollar here is earmarked for you,
yes.
but it's also earmarked for this person,
right.
and then this person, and then at that $1 we'll wipe out all this debt.
I believe it.
I know it could.
I think there's some kind of parable in that.
I know there is.
Yeah. But anyway, before we switch gears a little bit, I do want to urge people, if they feel like buying Unwavering Strength, they can go to Amazon.com and get Unwavering Strength Volume 2, where yours truly, Christine Marie's story, is in there, called The Kiss. And many good stories are in there. And we've interviewed, you can go back in our archives, and we've interviewed many of the authors. I've had almost two-thirds that are in the book that we've interviewed and read their pretty amazing, awesome, touching stories. And again, what I love about this book, 4 or 5 pages. You can do that. You can do that.
The whole book's not 4 or 5 pages, but each individual story.
No, each individual. Sorry. Yes. Thank you for setting the record straight.
Just in case the baby was confused.
But you can read it. Each little story in the favorite room of your house, bathroom.
Yeah. Favorite room of your house, like the bathroom. It's a great place.
Where you can close the door for the puppy on the puppy for 10 minutes.
I love that one commercial. It's a car commercial, upgrading to a minivan, even though he said he wasn't going to ever do it, a husband. And
I know what
and
you're
talking
about.
And there's one scene where he's in the bathroom and he's playing a video game or looking on his iPad, and he's got his he's got his pants up, he's just sitting on the toilet, and he's like, and they're like, where are you? What are you doing? I'm in the bathroom. I'm playing my video game. Leave me alone.
Because you can get a little bit of peace there.
Right.
And we're really looking for peace from our puppy every once in a while. You and your guy took Elliot out this afternoon.
Yes.
And gave Daddy and I a break.
Yes.
Yay.
Yay.
And today, you took him out for his morning walk, and he got off his leash.
Oh, it's very scary. The leash broke. And then the weird part is, it's one of those clasps, those plastic clasps that go together. And I like the ones where it's like a belt buckle,
Sure.
But the weird part is, I went to buy a belt buckle one, none. Zero.
Oh, really? They have the clasp?
Yes, I just got a bigger one.
Right.
Hopefully this will be okay.
Okay.
And I did get one that will fit his whole body, which would be lovely if that works.
Oh, like one of those
harness-like things?
Oh, I love those.
Yeah.
They just look so more humane.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
I know, because you don't like them chugging on their
neck. I don't like them choking.
Yeah.
He's hey, I can't do it, but how he wheezes and...
Exactly. So, no. So yeah, that should work hopefully, and I'm glad you got a little break from him today,
mm-hmm.
and so forth. But he played with a big Saint Bernard,
mm-hmm.
and so here we had a 100-pound dog playing with a 20-pound dog,
mm-hmm.
and the Saint Bernard was just like, oh, I can't take it. He's just bugging me. But he had a little spark in his eye. It was kind of cute. The little Saint Bernard did.
Baron did.
Oh yes, he did. And that's not his M.O.
No, it's not.
He's usually very mellow.
Yeah, he has those kind of like dull eyes.
Well, yeah, that's the St. Bernard for you.
Mm-hmm.
That's for sure. You know, I was just thinking about the disappointment, because I want to kind of get back to talking about disappointment and how to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I think disappointments come in is when we kind of get what we've asked for, and it just isn't everything it was supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be crushing in different ways, because in some ways you've manifested this. You've gone mm-hmm. after this dream, this mm-hmm. goal. You've achieved it. We have a friend who really really manifested moving from Canada to California. And it ended up just not being what it was supposed to be. It ended up being what it was supposed to be. But ended up not being what...
It was a disappointment.
A huge disappointment.
Yeah.
And I can tell you 4 or 5 times in my life, things I've gone after, achieved, worked hard for,
mm-hmm.
got there and going, oh my God, did I make a mistake? I honestly, I'm going to say this out, I mean, I don't want to say this out loud, but maybe I will. Teaching was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
I remember my first year in teaching full time. You know, I got mm-hmm. my great job, life was good,
mm-hmm.
and it was horrible.
I remember that, Julie.
It was horrible. I was with another teacher where I was a special ed teacher. She was a regular elementary teacher, and we had a student teacher in there as well, and she had kids that didn't like. It was just a horrible situation. The principal didn't like me.
You had the worst principal.
It was horrible. I mean, it was my first year teaching, and I was like, I worked a long time for this. Everything came to be. I thought this was my dream job, my mm-hmm. goal. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, my God, I don't know if I can step foot into another, mm-hmm. you know, school ever.
Mm-hmm.
I did.
Mm-hmm.
Some better jobs.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't know if it was meant for me or not, to be
right,
honest with you. I like teaching, but maybe not
in school.
I think
almost everything is. I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but there's always that element of sort of, I don't know, it's like there's a bunch of crap you gotta work through.
Or is it all just the reality check? Because we do live in this co-creating world, and sometimes the world just gets created more, or different, or bigger, and things move around because there's a problem to be solved. Or a situation to be had.
Right.
And without those problems, situations, conflicts, there really is no moving forward, necessarily.
Hmm. I
maybe
understand
I'm
that.
Wrong.
No, but also, too, you and I work, you know, we work for ourselves. Daddy works for himself, right?
Right.
There's a whole bunch of other people that don't, and they come into this culture.
Right.
And you hope that it's decent.
Right.
But like one or two rotten eggs can just make your life there. And our friend came into this culture from the Canadian, French-Canadian.
The great north of us, north of the border.
Yes, yeah. And this culture where they were in was, wow, they were just shocked.
Yeah.
Culture shock. How's that sound?
I can understand. Well, and like because we work for ourselves, I think we've been out of the culture for too long.
Mm-hmm.
We're mm-hmm. not used to people, like her complaints. I'm like, oh yeah, people do behave that way. We just
mm-hmm.
haven't had that because we're not experiencing that.
Yeah, we've been pretty blessed, really.
Yes.
But enough said about that. But when we have, like take Bernard's,
mm-hmm.
you know, I mean, Dad had to, please them, the company.
Right.
And then he had to please the
customer.
The customer.
Which was counterintuitive.
Right.
I mean, it was hard to please both.
It was in that culture, you couldn't.
No.
And so it made for some really, you know, creepy-ass days.
Yeah.
Know?
And the only nice thing is about today, like, or this, where we're at now,
mm-hmm.
I feel it's more saner.
Yes.
I think we're able to please all the cogs in the wheel for the most part,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
including ourselves. And that's
right.
important. Because sometimes if you're not being able to be pleased,
mm-hmm.
the job just becomes horrendous.
I know.
You know, I was also thinking, too, we know somebody else who's been at a job for a very long time, number one seniority, and, like, everyone around him is getting perks, like new trucks
yes.
and so forth.
Yes.
And he can't figure out why.
Right.
And the only thing you think of is this. He goes, you know what? I'm blessed everywhere else. And if this is a place where I can't be blessed for
mm-hmm.
some reason,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to just suck it up.
Right. Yeah, that's cool.
That's a way of thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Building character.
Yeah.
I remember Joyce Meyer saying this. I just love the way she's so practical.
I know she is.
And she just
and
said,
you know, I didn't always like her.
Right. I could see that.
And
I agree.
I really didn't. And I think it took for me a more mature, I don't know, personality.
Yeah.
I had to grow a pair.
Right.
And now I really appreciate her.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. But she talks about the biggest gift you need to give to your family and your environment is for them to be able to trust that you're going to be even when bad stuff happens.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're going to be able to just to handle it when
mm-hmm.
the bad stuff comes.
Isn't that true?
And, you know,
oh, if I would have had parents like that, oh,
yeah.
my gosh.
And I guess
every
grit,
now,
right?
even now, I'm always afraid, like, when does the next shoe drop? When is the next shoe, you know?
I know, and even with your husband,
mm-hmm.
you're like, what's that moan about? What's that about?
Yeah.
Why
I didn't realize
that?
He's so noisy. but now I hear something, like, oh, my God. Today we were talking, and I looked up, and he had his hand over his heart.
Like saying the pledge.
Yeah. And I screamed, like, what's going on? What are you doing? Are you okay?
He's like, what's wrong? What's going on?
And he just went, I can't even remember what he said, but...
He goes, what do you mean? And I'll go, well, you get your hand on your chest. Oh, nothing. I just have my hand on my chest. There's nothing to it.
Yeah.
There's
yeah.
no hidden context. No subtext. It's just there.
I know.
And so you're having to relearn this life where
mm-hmm.
where now you're very hyper-vigilant,
mm-hmm.
vigilant, but...
I'm vigilant. Sound like you were just like,
I know,
having a sip of wine when you said that.
Exactly. Well, because I'm still dealing with this cough.
I know you are.
I
swallowed some phlegm early.
Early
in the show, and I'm like still trying to recoup.
There you go. Well, you know,
that's why we're live.
Exactly. What are you gonna do? You know, we're humans. We're only human beings.
Well,
if you cut us out, we bleed.
Remember one friend we used to have? She was, oh, we're just mere mortals.
Yes. And I'm like, ah, I guess you're a mere mortal.
Except her sister was an actress and played a superhuman being.
Yes, exactly.
On a TV show.
Yeah, just exactly.
Mm.
And but only played one on TV. She really wasn't a superhero.
No.
Just to let you know, Mom. I know it's confusing for you sometimes.
I know.
But things that are in that box are not necessarily true.
Okay. Okay.
You know. So we're agreeing that we can choose to look at disappointments as a way of growing our character,
mm-hmm.
of ways of saying, hey, I'm learning how to be cheerful in the midst of this anyway,
mm-hmm.
because that's kind of my job. And if we all think of that as our job,
mm-hmm.
what a sweet life it'll be, right?
And yeah, and I think what I'm sort of learning is that, okay, so we're talking about disappointments, right?
Yeah.
But they don't come unless you've had some elevated, hey, this is going to turn out great, you know.
Right.
This
oh,
is
of
the
course.
Answer to my prayers, you know.
You're not disappointed if you don't start dreaming.
Yeah.
And we're telling you to dream big, right?
Right, right.
That's the paradox of life.
And you're
going to
have
life.
A lot of disappointments.
Yes. That's the paradox of life.
That's the mystery, isn't it?
Oh, my gosh. Because it's the same thing where you're supposed to take a leap of faith. Tony Robbins, okay,
mm-hmm.
you know, listening to his program and talking about, you know, yes, you know, start that business. You can do it. Take that leap of faith.
Mm-hmm.
Go all in. Oh, and on the back end, from day one, invest $100 of your money every month, no matter what,
mm-hmm.
and don't touch it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wait, I'm feeling a little schizophrenic. What am I supposed to do?
I'm supposed to take all my money and invest it in myself and start my own business?
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm supposed to take my money and invest it in the market so that when I'm old, I'll have enough money to take care of myself before
right.
I die?
Right.
And then you just go, none of this sounds attractive. None of this is attractive at all.
I mean, see, and that's kind of why there are people that I admire that just, you know, they're just like one foot in front of the other.
Yes.
They are steady.
Yes.
And that's like when Joyce Meyer said, you owe it to your family to be steady.
I just love that.
Yeah.
And she also talked about it during that one sermon that, you know, try on stuff. There are things I tried on for career-wise or passion-wise or purpose-wise mm-hmm. that I could do, but it wasn't my passion. I didn't like it.
I didn't. She talked about that she was in the nursery.
Yes.
And she said, I didn't like it, and those babies didn't like it.
There, we were both in agreement.
Yeah.
I was not meant to be there.
Yeah. So you got it like you do. You have to try on different
yes.
stuff to really find out where you... I always had this story that for years, I was a pitcher on our softball team. And, you know, I was like, okay, would strike people out, have, no hitters and all that kind of stuff. But one season, somebody who was a VIP in the church, his wife wanted to be the pitcher, on
yeah.
the team. And so the priest said, girlfriend, go to first base. And here's the thing. I was brokenhearted at first. I can tell you, I'm a left-hander, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was the best first baseman.
Yeah.
And I was not only awesome, I was good. I loved it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, my God, for all those years that I would, stress out before the game.
Right.
You know, am I going to do this? And because my dad had me throw in, windmills.
I had to do the art circle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was, a nervous wreck before the game. I couldn't eat and everything. And all of a sudden, I loved what I was doing. What I'm saying when you're in the right place.
I was reading this one article.
And I wouldn't have gotten there unless...
No.
This lady kicked me out.
Unless you had a little failure there,
mm-hmm.
moved you over.
Mm-hmm.
I was reading this one article about Olympic athletes.
Bruce Jenner.
Yeah, no.
Mm-hmm.
And
you didn't hear me say that, did you?
No. And then what they were talking about though was, in some of these countries, they're trying to fill their roster. Like you can do this, this, and this. But what they're doing is they're taking athletes already. And testing their body to see what their body is best for. And someone might go, I'm a great runner. And they go, let's test you. Because you know what, though? With the way your body type moves and the way your muscles twitch at a certain rate, you're actually a better rower. And you can.
Wow.
Your body is meant for rowing, and you have a good chance of getting the gold if you
wow.
follow this. And I'm thought, oh, my God, this is awesome.
Wow.
This is awesome to have that... That kind of, well, let's see what really you're, almost like a, what do they call it, an aptitude test.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see where you're at with your aptitude. And that's what we're going to focus on because you have, yes, you could do other things, but you may have trained twice as hard
mm-hmm.
to get to where you could go naturally here.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder about that because sometimes I think our desires are not matched with what our God-given talents are.
Right, right.
And maybe that's where the disappointment lies because we've been sold a bill of goods for this one desire or dream.
Well, yeah, we have been sold a bill. Like, you said that you were at the New Year's Eve party at the Lombardo's.
Yeah.
And you were doing something fun, and all of a sudden somebody said, oh, let's put this on YouTube and make $1 million. And it sapped all the juice out of it.
Yeah, for me.
Sapped all the life out of it.
Yeah, first off, no one's making $1 million off of that.
Mm-hmm.
Second of all, can I not just, live my life without feeling it may get online?
Mm-hmm.
Can I do that?
You were telling me something this week about Facebook or...
Oh, this is an awesome story. So I was listening to Radio Lab, the podcast, and... it might have been an older episode, but they were talking about Facebook, and I think they were called Engineers of Trust. And What they noticed in Facebook in 2010-2011, that holiday season, something astronomical amount of pictures were downloaded from family events.
Mm-hmm.
And what also happened was they had record-breaking numbers of complaints with pictures, like take this picture down because it's offensive or this. And now Facebook in their code of ethics or whatever will take down pictures if they're offensive or some kind of sexual content or whatever. But they have to be looked at by a person to say if it's nay or yay, if it really is offensive or not offensive.
Mm-hmm.
And what they realized was, by far, leaps and bounds, most of these pictures were not even close to being offensive. Like, there'll be one person holding a kitty cat, and like, well, why is this offensive?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and one person, and then when go, and because they were looking at having to hire like a couple thousand people just to look at pictures.
Oh, my God.
I know. And so what they ended up doing was talking to these people to find out really what it was about. And what it really was about was most people just didn't like the way they looked in the picture. And they go, you know, and they thought, well, I knew that my picture was being taken at, you know, my friend's place.
Right.
But I didn't think she was going to put it on Facebook.
Yeah, exactly.
And I get that.
I do,
because,
too.
You know, why does everything have to become open to everybody,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And
and everybody always, I mean, it's not like you get the most flattering picture of yourself.
No. I mean, let's be real. If I'm going to put it on Facebook, I want to at least put the one I think I look the best in.
Right, exactly.
What's so wrong with that?
Right.
So what they did was, because they didn't even put that as a choice, as an option, and they couldn't. I mean, there's nothing in the guide. It would be wrong to say if somebody else didn't like the picture, they'd have to take it down, like they don't like the way they look or whatever. It's just too broad. But they said what happened was if they picked, I don't like the way I look, or I don't like the way the picture looks, or whatever, a box would come up, and it would start and would say, please ask your friend to take the picture down.
Oh, okay.
And it half the time, no one even put anything in the box. But when they started the conversation forum, like, hey, Frank, can you take this picture down?
Mm-hmm.
I don't like it. You know, they would send it then. And most of the time, the pictures would get taken down.
That's nice and accommodating.
Yes, but what was interesting is that because of the volume, I think over a billion people are on Facebook, they're working with such high numbers that they could actually test to see what works better, faster, what wording helps the user get the picture down. Like, if you say the word, I'm so sorry, but I really don't want that picture, 9 out of 10, they said, so what? Leave it up. They're not going to take the picture down.
Mm-hmm.
But because you add the word sorry to it. If you don't say sorry, they'll take it down. They'll more likely take the picture down.
Really?
Isn't that counterintuitive?
That's very counterintuitive.
We're a very interesting culture, aren't we? Like, don't tell me, you know, I'm not going to take it down because you're such a sorry ass or whatever.
Right.
But, what they were also talking about as well is that they found out that they have this body of people that they're just trying different stuff on to see what works and what doesn't work. And one example was...
you're talking about Facebook. Just doing this... They're just like doing surveys
or just
underground testing.
Yes, underground testing is the best way, which has been going on
underground
in marketing.
Underground testing for marketing.
Yeah, underground, well, not just in marketing, but like underground testing and marketing has been going on for decades, you know, years, I mean, since marketing existed, right?
Sure.
Let's change this picture, see if it brings in more clients.
Mm-hmm.
Let's change this wording.
Mm-hmm.
All this stuff. But one of the experiments was they would change the language of news feeds at the bottom of your page to have a slightly less offensive or a slightly positive slant to them.
Wow.
And it would change the way the person acted on Facebook. They would be happier. And their posts would be slightly happier.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh my God. I mean, it makes total sense. But at the volume that they have to work with, they could figure it out, you know?
Oh, my gosh.
It's just amazing. And then they had this one. Is Normano with you by chance?
Me?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
Is he gone?
No, it's just that I could smell dinner. I hope it's not burning. But anyway, what I was going to say is that they had a meeting with some psychologists and just and different experts in different fields, computer fields and marketing fields and all that stuff, and science fields. And they showed them what they could do and all this, and they were going, "Oh my gosh, we always feel blessed if we have a 20 subjects, and you have millions of subjects
right,
to work with."
Right.
And but then one of the scientists said, "Well, I'm on Facebook. Have I been part of one of these experiments?" And the head of the trust engineer goes, "Yeah, 100% of everybody, 100% of the people on Facebook have been in some kind of experiment sometime somewhere."
Whoa.
And that got leaked. The next day after that meeting, it hit the news that Facebook was doing some kind of
research.
Yes. And and it was so interesting.
So that got leaked.
Yes. And then they were saying stuff like, "Oh, what's Facebook doing to us and all this stuff, and they're really just behaving poorly." And I thought, "Are you out of your mind? This is great. This is great."
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting because I'm not a big Facebook.
I know you're not.
Thing I should be.
No, and I used to be, and then it got it went three levels ahead
right.
of me.
Right, I
and
understand.
Now I'm just a broken person.
I'm sorry.
I'm just like a little broken blackbird.
A broken blackbird.
Broken winged blackbird.
Well, speaking of blackbirds or
mm-hmm.
wings,
mm-hmm.
I was in the bathroom.
Oh, yeah.
And I was noticing.
If somebody knows this, I want them to write us.
Yes, but this is about talk to us at ChristineMarieAngeli.com. That's the email address, talktous@ChristineMarieAngeli.com.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just in the ending of the show here. I'm in the bathroom looking out the window and seeing all the snow, and I see this big snowflake coming down from the sky, which I think is a snowflake. But it's not. It's a small feather. And it's followed by four other feathers. And they all follow the sky very quietly and land in the snow, and they're gray with a little bit of an orange or red tip to it. And that was it. Just five feathers
I know.
Fell from the sky a day. While I
know, and there has to be...
I'm going to find out.
Yeah, I was going to say there has to be a bird there somewhere. kind of like the pony.
Yeah,
joke.
I got that.
I know.
That girlfriend.
But we're thinking that it might have some...
Meaning message. I'll take it.
Some message in there for us.
I'll take it. So, girlfriend, in the last couple minutes of the show,
yeah.
How is your week? How's your week going to be?
How's it going to be, right?
Yeah.
I'm predicting that it's going to go smoothly. I'm going to be calm.
Yay.
I'm not going to be hyper-vigilant with Norm.
I'm going to let the disappointments wash off
I'm just going to let any of my disappointments or fear or anything just roll off roll off a duck's back, something like that.
Yes. It'll be just character builders.
Right, right. Right.
There you go.
I'm a tough kid.
You really are. You really are.
And buy the book, Unwavering Strength.
Go to Amazon. Unwavering Strength, Volume 2, Christine Marie's story in there.
Yeah, and also buy the Clutterfly Effect,
yes.
Amazon.com.
Everyone out there, have a great, great week. Let your disappointments just go to the wayside. Be in good cheer. And, you know, it's life only. It's only life.
It's great.
It's great. It was great.